In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The other day I saw a poster for the new film about Princess Diana, which has just gone on release here in Switzerland. It reminded me of the day I was introduced to her, at Buckingham Palace, as it happens, and also of that Sunday morning, hearing the news that she had been killed. Then there were those scenes in the days afterwards, almost as if her death had released vast amounts of grief and emotion bottled up inside people that they had not been able to express beforehand. Her death also marked a change in what people expected at a funeral. They began to ask for Elton John and other bits of pop music, poems and tributes written by family members, wreaths saying, "Dad," or in the shape of a football shirt, began to appear on the coffin. Funerals, in other words, became personalised in a way they hadn't been before, as people adapted and adopted what they had seen at Diana's service. To some extent, this is a good thing, and undoubtedly helps people in their sorrow. Indeed, a celebration of a person's life is one of the purposes of a funeral service. But it is only one aspect, and we have to be on our guard that celebration does not become inward-looking and individualistic. Together with the celebration of what our loved ones have done in their lives, there needs to be an element of thanksgiving for what the person in the coffin shared with others and leaves with them. So we give thanks for the lives of our loved ones. To whom do we give thanks? To them, yes. But Christians would also want to say, to God, for we believe that all life is a gift from Him. And faced with the reality of death, big questions open up. They cannot be avoided by the fantasies people tell children, like Granny's gone to be a star in the sky, or pretending that death is nothing at all, that our loved ones have simply slipped into another room, or that they live on as long as we are around to remember them. If we avoid facing up to the reality of death in this way, we fail to grasp the Christian message of hope. For the Christian, hope is not a sort of vague hoping that everything will be all right and bad things won't happen. Christian hope is more concerned to believe that everything will be all right even when bad things happen. A faith which confidently expects God's purposes to emerge from the bad. In the early church, the Eucharist was often celebrated at the tombs of the saints. And often these saints would have been known personally to members of the congregation. Most of them would have died violent and unpleasant deaths because of their faith in Jesus. To celebrate the Eucharist there, at their tombs, was a sign of hope and faith that in Jesus' death, the last enemy had been defeated. Broken bread and wine outpoured, signs of a body broken and blood spilt at the cross, are received as tokens of life-giving victory over death, a victory which we, the living, share with the saints who suffered and died. Christian hope, then, is not that we can avoid death and all manner of other bad things, but that death and suffering can be transformed and become the means to a greater, better reality. When we light our candle shortly, they will not be a candle in the wind, a sign that life is fragile and meaningless, only to be snuffed out at the end. Instead, they will be a light to lighten our darkness, a sign of our hope that darkness will be overcome in God's way and in His good time. Amen.